His body talks. Some bodies talk loud. Some bodies talk quietly, but their body talks. And some scream, somebody said. Let's read chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And we're going to be right on verse number 7. And we're going to talk about husbands and the role of husbands in the marriage. Title of this sermon, Likewise, Ye Husbands. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Sister Doris said, if you're talking about marriage, I can leave now because I don't need to hear. That's what she told me in the hallway. It ain't too late. All right. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Father God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a message to the husbands. Thank you for spelling it out so clear, Father God. We men, we husbands, we have so much to be thankful for, especially those of us who have wives. But Father God, we so much don't want our prayers to be hindered. We want to be able to get through, Father God, when our children are away. We want to be able to pray for our sick loved ones, our sons and daughters, Father God. We want to be able to pray for them. So Father God, we pray today that if there's anything that may be hindering our relationship with you, Father God, let it be revealed in the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Likewise, ye husbands. Peter put a little extra on that. He said, likewise, ye husbands. See, sometimes as men, we could get away with it. That women are just to be subjected to us, listen to us, and do what we say. No matter how we live, no matter how we act. I know a lot of men feel that way. But he starts off this verse with likewise. That word likewise means in the same way. Equally, in the same way. And remember, we've been going through Peter, and I say this because I just believe, and I hope you guys buy into it. If you don't, then I'm still going to preach through this Bible, verse by verse. I just believe it's the only way the Word of God ought to be preached. And Peter, in chapter 2, verse 13, he's talking about submission. He says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Then in 18, chapter 1,
excuse me, chapter 2, verse 18, he says, servants, employees, be subject to your bosses or your masters. How? With fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward or to the stubborn and disobedient ones. You know, there's a whole lot of folks out here that are better employees or better that are in subjection to their bosses.
Amen.
More than they are to their own spouses. And boss can treat them and dog them for 30 years. And they'll hang in there. And they have a bad couple of months with their husband and they're ready to see Judge Judy. That's just true. That's just true. And then he starts off chapter 3. He says, likewise, the same as equally. Talk to the women. Just like you are subject to your boss, just like you are subject to the president and the governors and the mayors and the city council, he said, likewise, ye women, in the same way, be subject to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they may also without a word be won by the conversation of the wife, by the behavior of the wife.
Amen.
You living out what you learned in church. You've learned the Word of God and you know how to carry yourself as a woman of God. You know how to dress as a woman of God. You know how to talk as a woman of God. You know as a woman of God what to laugh at. What's funny, what's not. You know when to be serious, when to be sober.
Yes, sir.
And then you also know that you have an unsaved husband that's watching you. And you want him saved. You want him saved. You don't want him to die and go to hell.
Amen.
So you're cognitive of your behavior. And then he starts off with the men. And again, this may take me 2 weeks to get through. I didn't know I had so much. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm a better husband today than I was last week. I learned some stuff. Just studying the Word of God. And I was talking to Dave yesterday. He called me up and I was talking to him. I said, Dave, you know why I ask you guys to teach and I try to get these men to teach. I say, you learn more in preparing a lesson than you do in hearing a lesson. And I was learning yesterday. I was like, ooh, this one here is some good stuff. But he says, likewise, in the same way. And we use that word likewise. You know, I looked at some scriptures using that word likewise, and I thought about this when Deacon Jeremy was being ordained in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. He said, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for filthy money. What he's saying, likewise, he's comparing the deacon to the pastor. Verses 1 through 7 was about the pastor and his behavior and how he ought to be a husband of one wife and faithful, not a brawler, hospitable. Then he says, likewise.
Amen.
The standard doesn't change for the deacon. He said, likewise, you deacons, you must be serious and not double-tongued and not being given too much wine. Likewise, and you talk about Saul, King Saul, wicked Saul, when he was on the run and he was about to be killed. He killed himself. He laid on his sword. Bible says he laid on his sword. And it says, and when his armor bearer, this is why I don't believe in armor bearers today. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell upon his sword and died with him. Here's a good one for both the men and the women, the husband and the wife. He says, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:3, he said, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Then it says in verse number 4 of that, and the wife have not power over her own body, but the husband. Let me stop right there. It's a semicolon. Don't stop right there. And likewise, also the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. So we don't even hear the word likewise. You know, we're not saying that the wife is to be subject to her husband, but the husband is not to be subject to his wife. And we have to remember, in the time where Peter wrote this, this was revolutionary. See, people say, oh, the Bible's against women, the Bible's against women, and all the women preachers, oh, the Bible's against women. The Bible is one of the first documents that was ever written that elevated women to a high standard. To a high standard. Okay? So we look at this word likewise and we move on down through the text and what Peter is trying to get the men to understand that the wife is precious. That a woman is precious. He says in verse number 7, he said, likewise ye husbands. Now I never would have thought, you know, I went to a counseling seminar and the question was asked, well, what are you going to do when two men come into your office for marital counseling? And I said, I'm not going to do anything. Okay? Okay, because two men are not going to come to my office for marriage counseling. And I never thought that I would have to explain or to explain what a husband is. When we look at, we live in a different world. The husband is the male partner in a marriage. And the wife is the female partner in a marriage. You're not just off the top. Being a move from there. But he says, likewise ye husbands. Now watch this. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, that's not a suggestion. Okay? That's a command. That's a command. Let's go back who Peter was. Verse number 1 of chapter 1. And sometimes you have to do this because Peter had apostolic authority. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Peter was God's man and he had the authority to speak, thus say the Lord. So we see Peter given a command, but it's a good one now. Dwell with your wife. What's that word dwell mean? Stay. Stay. See, we live in a world today where, you know, especially in the African American community, where 70% of all homes are ran by single mothers. That's a crazy number. That's a crazy number. I'm going to talk to you guys today about the purpose of marriage. That word dwell has the meaning behind it of a lifetime companionship. A union. An unbreakable union. We signed the contract when we got married. We signed the contract and we can't break it. What God has put together. Okay? Amen. It is what it is. So this is why I wish I'd known this years ago. Well, you know it now. Amen. You are without excuse. Don't come to me. Amen. Talking about, you know what? I know what you preach, but you know, we just got irreconcilable differences. I have to go. No? Not the man of God. This is to the man of God. Okay? He says, dwell with your wives. How? According to knowledge. You need to know her. You need to get to know her. And when she acting a fool, you really get to know her. She's showing you who I am. She just, listen, here, this is me. You signed up for this. going to let you know this is what you're going to be dealing with. And I thank God for you. I thank God for it. She's keeping it real. This is what you got. You better get to know me. Somebody said, man, I'm going to need something supernatural. That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? You stay married 25, 30, 40, 50 years, you have something supernatural working in your marriage. Somebody say, I need some supernatural. If I'm going to make this work, it's going to have to come from, I'm going to need the power of God. Absolutely. Amen. That is exactly what Peter is saying. And he's saying, you have it. He's saying you have it. Remember, I preached a sermon. He said, listen, you've been saved by the suffering of Christ. The preacher message on the suffering of Christ. Christ suffered so that we can have this supernatural power.
Amen.
You have it. You need to tap into it. You know, now I was looking at this now, and stuff goes in my mind. I was reading this. And Zacchaeus. I remember the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus was on his way to the cross. He was real close. And he walking down Jericho Road. Zacchaeus wanted to see who he was. Heard so much about him. Ran ahead because the crowd was there. He ran ahead and ran up into a sycamore tree. And when Jesus came to that sycamore tree, he looked up. Verse number 5 says, and Jesus came to the place and he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Listen, he wasn't going to this Jewish man's house to talk to him about the fact that, you know, LeBron James' new head coach is a Jewish guy. That was not the purpose of this visit. Zacchaeus wanted to know who Jesus was. And Jesus gave him the business at that stage. And the point I'm making, Zacchaeus got to know who Jesus is. And I guarantee you, Jesus told him the same thing he told the rich young ruler. I'm going to Calvary to die for the sins of the world. And if you're going to come and follow me, go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. You know, there's a difference between Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler.
Amen.
The difference is pointed out. After he received the truth about who Jesus was, Zacchaeus said this. He said, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He said, I would have gave it all. But I didn't rob so many folks that I'm going to pay them back fourfold. And I believe, based on the confession of faith and his action, Zacchaeus is in glory.
Amen.
Because of what he did.
Amen.
That's interesting. And the reason I say that is because we need to get some knowledge, men, of Jesus Christ. And if we want to love our wives properly, we have to know the Lord. We have to know the Lord and what He has done for us.
Amen.
And when we understand what the Lord has done for us, it's going to be easier for us to suffer. I wish everybody would have been in Bible study this morning, because we're in the suffering business. And you're going to suffer in your marriage. You talk to anybody in here. There's some of us been here married 30 years. I've been going on 31. So you can get through the Hall of Fame with 1 or 2 bad years. That sound right, Elmer? You can still get there. Gail Sayers is in the Hall of Fame. He had some couple of major knee surgeries out for the season. Oh, Lord have mercy. Help me. Watch this. Get to know your wives. When it says to know them according to knowledge, what do you say? Get to know your wives. I was reading this. Know your wife's strengths and weaknesses. See, I know wives. I know Cindy's, and I'm not going to use Cindy a lot in this sermon. Well, she's my wife. I'm not going to ask her to do certain things because certain things she's not going to do. Okay, certain things she don't, it's not in her to do. So y'all won't have to worry about Cindy cooking a whole lot of food and bringing it to the church picnic or the church anniversary. She don't do that. Ain't in her. I knew it. Found out early in my marriage. She reminded me the other day when she was cooking rice. Because I know my wife. See, I've had Cindyology 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, and 5.0. And what I mean, I've been with Cindy when she was in her 20s. And I've been with her when she's in her 30s. In her 40s. And now I'm with her in her 50s. I know her. And I can sit here and boast on her. It ought to get better.
Amen.
If you ain't loving your wife more today than you did when you married her, there's a problem.
Amen.
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 It gets better. Right, Anthony? Man, quiet up in here. Listen, the woman, I'm talking about the woman. What the woman desires, I'm going to help some men today. I'll help some of you young men here that's single. Here's what women like from a husband. I never thought I'd get to a loving message. Lord, you're going to love this message. Women desire affection. Affection. They want their husband to be friendly and warm and caring. You know, women like to hold hands in public. I know I'm saying, when Cindy and I go to the mall and you know, she grabbed my hand. You know, women like, you know, affection. They're like, you know, they like wearing the same colors. Cindy, you know, wearing the same colors today. That's affection. Women like conversation. Listen, they like to talk. There was a survey that said women talk or speak 25,000 words a day. Some of you double that. And the men speak an average of 12,500 words a day. And a lot of times, by the time I get home from work, I've spoke 12,000. So I only have about 500 left. And so, this could be a problem area for men. But understand that. Your women don't talk. Jermaine, women like to talk. And they like to converse. They like the conversation and talk. Women like honesty and openness. But they say they're like a man of integrity. Truthfulness. Women like men to be truthful. Sincerity. Listen. I know some of you guys struggle with this. How do I look today? They like truth. Is this dress too tight? Do you think I'm fill in the blank? Women like financial support. We can break that down. Women like to shop. Women like money. Women like malls and plazas and J.C. Penney's and Macy's and Dillard's and Aurora Farms and Outlet Malls, Grove City. Listen, to you young girls back there. You look at these dudes. Don't look at them now. Look, get the crystal ball out. Call Miss Cleo. I'm just joking. Don't call her. Look at him. 10 years from now. Don't look at him now. Oh, he's so cute. Will he be cute 10 years from now? Broke and cute don't go together. Oh, he's so cute. Look at him, got dimples. Look, what you going to be in 5 years? Be a rapper. I'm going to be a baller. You 5'6". Y'all so stupid. These young girls are stupid. Oh, he's going to be a baller. He's going to play the NBA. He's 5'6". He's not Muggsy Bogues or whatever his name is. This dude can't touch the net. Oh, let me help y'all. I only do this because I love you. Clarice and Kay Lynn and the other one. When you get older, you're going to need some money, financial support. Listen, family commitment. How about that? Family commitment. Is this guy going to be loyal? Is he going to be faithful? Can I be assured that he's going to stay with me? After I had these babies and put on a little weight, is he going to hang in here with me? They asked a famous movie star. He was a famous movie star. Played a lot of romantic roles. You know, Billy Dee Williams type of you old school ones. And wasn't him, though, I don't think. But they asked him, I said, you know, what's the secret to being a great lover? And he said, the secret is being able to love one woman all your life. And they didn't like that answer. They didn't think that was coming. He said, listen, any dog can go from woman to woman to woman. I didn't write that. I'm just reading it. But it's good. I told you I'm better. I'm a better husband. Cindy, you got a better husband coming home today. Better day. I'm better. Cindy kept coming off yesterday looking over my shoulder trying to see what I was doing. Y'all got all them women's desires? Did I get them all? I got them all. Now I'm going to tell you what men desire. Ladies, pay attention. See. Amen. Somebody. All right, Gabby, you just keep on amening me because ain't nobody said nothing. A man. Man. Manly man like me and Deacon Oliver. Men. Number one on their list. Sexual fulfillment. We are controlled. And you know, we performance oriented. You know, we like the NFL combines. You know, we want to talk about our accomplishments. You know how much I bench press and, you know, my 40-yard dash, my vertical. You know, how high I can jump. See, we in the performing. Women ain't in the performing. Women like affection and commitment and financial support and honesty and family commitment. Amen. Guys like recreation. Recreational companionship. I see this all the time. You know, I think about this. I think about this. Because I've been through some stuff. I'm not preaching my life. I'm preaching the Bible. Men like being around their boys. Being around their buddies. Watch this, young ladies. Because it don't always go away. You know, football season coming up. You know, the tailgating. Watch it when you see the guys. They tailgating. They out there. They got the bowling league, the golf leagues. They in the fishing club and the hunting club. And they go to every high school football game. And they members of the lodge. And you go to the sports bars and everybody know them. They have this locker room mentality. And they don't like to let it go. They don't like to let it go. Pay attention to it. Because men like to play. They like to play. Men like the attractive wife. How about that? They want the trophy wife. You know? So that means once you put on a few little pounds, then they're going to be looking for the trophy wife. You know, be like the 89-year-old guy who married, what's her name, Nicole Smith. Anna Nicole had the 89-year-old guy, you know, with the 20-year-old babe. Like, yeah, look what I'm holding down. Really? The checkbook holding her down. Because women like financial support and shopping. Listen, men like mommies. Men like domestic support, and that's different from family support. A lot of men are looking for a mother.
Amen.
Wash my clothes, do the dishes, fix my lunch. Make sure I got all my doctor's appointments and, you know, they're not looking for a wife. Be careful with that kind too.
Amen.
And then after all that, women, the men like the women to say, you know, you're the greatest husband of all.
Amen. Thank you.
Tell me I'm wonderful. Tell me I'm the best husband ever. Based on what?
Amen.
Honestly, I talked to a guy today, not today, but Thursday or Friday this week. This was an interesting conversation. I tell all my business. I'm not going to get his guy's name. But he come up to me and he's the high school assistant girls volleyball coach. Now, already that's bad. But to his daughter was a superstar volleyball player. I like that. He came up to me this week. He's got a protective wife. I use that word instead of saying jealous. So he comes up to me this week, and I'm sitting here like, you don't know your wife. You don't know your wife. So he said they went to Columbus for a weekend. At a high school girls volleyball clinic for 2 days. Deacon Oliver was like, yeah. I knew. Now you taking your 40-something-year-old wife to a high school volleyball clinic. This ain't good for done. This I'm gonna help you this. Dave, me and Dave. This would be the equivalent of Dave and I going to say we're on the committee to select the ring girls for Jake's next fight. That wouldn't go over real well with Lori and Cindy. But you take your wife to a coach's clinic with 300 college girls. And he said, we were just miserable the whole weekend. She just didn't want to be there. I don't blame her.
Amen.
Are you crazy? Pay attention, man. Get to know your wife. Some of us do well at this. I just know some of us know our wives real well. Real well. Let's talk about the purpose of marriage. Because we get it all messed up. And somebody says, I wish you'd have told me that years ago. What is the purpose of marriage? Think about it. I'm not going to ask you that. I think I'm in Bible study all the time. The purpose of marriage, and I'm just going to give you three. There's a lot. Marriage protects men and women from sexual immorality. Let me say that again. Marriage protects individuals from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 7:2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband.
Amen.
We live in a messed up world. I mean, sexual images, sexual innuendos, sexual temptations everywhere. Everywhere. You turn on the TV, you don't want to turn on along. Is sex is being pushed down our throats.
Yes,
and marriage is the venue that God has given us to provide a safe and healthy place for us to express our sexuality. Mike came in the room. He said, "Who is Ray Rice?" You know, he knocked that woman stone cold out, and she married him 2 weeks later. What's wrong with that picture? I don't care what Roger Goodell says. There's a problem there, women.
Amen.
Men.
Yes, sir.
Listen. If you meet a young man and he cussing and swearing at you, you need to run from him.
Amen.
You need to run from him. Because that's just the beginning of the storm. That's just the beginning. And some of these young girls today, they cuss just like the boys, they cussing at each other. Listen, God says that marriage is a wonderful thing. This is what he says in Proverbs 18:22. He said, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of God." I'm here to say God will bless your marriage. You hang in there. You stick in there. Listen, you find some married couples that's been married for a long time. Rarely will you find a married couple that's hung in there just doing bad. I believe that. You think about that and you look around and you find a married couple that's hung in there through the thick and thin. God has blessed them. Why? Because God loves marriage. Said it in Malachi. He says, God hates divorce. He hates divorce. Another purpose of marriage is to create a stable home where children can be raised in a godly environment. How about that? You ever thought about that? We as Christians, as people of God, we're supposed to raise our children in an environment that promotes godliness. Why? So our reproduction will go out into the world and reproduce. So when Jill get married, she's going to want a husband like Dave. She may sit there, "No, I don't." Yes, you do. You don't want a husband like your father. You don't want a husband that prays. A husband that serves God with his time, with his finances, with his energy. You ought to be able to see your father praying and studying the Bible and then living it out in the way he treats his wife and the way he treats your mother. I heard this, and when Cindy and I were having our rough time when she was acting crazy. Amen, Deacon. I went to a church. I just happened to just cozy on up in there, and a man preaching hard at me. I'm like, "How do you know I was here?" He said, "How dare you?" He wasn't talking to me. I was just there. He said, how dare you tell your children you love them and hate the most important person in their lives, their mother. And I'm sitting here like, whew, that was interesting. He said, how can you tell your children, I love y'all, but the most important person to your child is the mother. You can't stand the mother, but you love the child. That's a problem. I had a problem. I thank God for sound, biblical, confrontational, convicting preaching.
Amen.
Can't get saved no other way.
Amen.
It has to come like that. It has to punch you in the mouth.
Amen.
We hard-headed. We stubborn. Some of these young girls, you know, have to learn the hard way. That's why I believe the word of God. I say, judgment must begin in the house of God. God. Preachers ain't preaching. When preachers ain't preaching the word of God, they want to make everybody happy. Well, this ain't happy stuff.
Amen.
This ain't happy hour. Y'all know where to go to for happy hour. Some of y'all do. Listen. Marriage is a beautiful picture of the relationship between Christ and His church. The body of believers that make up the church are collectively called what? The bride of Christ. And as the bridegroom, Jesus Christ gave His life for His bride. How? By dying on Calvary's cross. For what reason? To make the church holy. Cleansing her, the church, the body of Christ. How? With the washing of water through the word of God. See, some of you get clean today. Try to get your kids in the shower. Try to get them in the shower. It's a war sometimes. Okay? Gotta get you cleaned up.
Amen.
And the word of God sometimes don't feel right, but you know it has its effect.
Amen.
The word of God cleans you up. This is why it's gotta be preached. Listen. Here's a lady. She said, I want to get married 4 times. I said, why? Why do you want to get married 4 times? She said, well, her first husband I'm going to marry, I want him to be a banker. I want to have some money. And then the second one I marry, I want a movie star. I want a stud athlete type guy. Then she said, the third type of guy I'm going to marry is going to be a preacher. I'm going to marry a preacher. Elmer looking at me. Where are you going? They said, the fourth one I want to marry is a funeral director. And the man looking at her said, what's wrong with you? She said, let me explain it to you. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now, here we go. All right. Jill, he'll explain that to you on the way home. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Blame that on Chuck's window. I got that off him. Okay, moving right along. Okay. Told you, this is going to be a loving message. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Let's stop right there. Giving honor to the wife. We love that song, giving honor to God. Paul puts it in the same, Peter puts it in the same text, giving honor to the wife. Honor means reverence and paying homage and loving her unconditionally. Unconditionally. This is marriage counseling 101. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. You know Christ still loved the church?
Amen.
And the church is jacked up. The church has got some issues.
Yes,
and you know what? Guess what? Christ still loves the church.
Amen.
Love your wife. Honor your wife as something that is precious. Listen, I say this stuff. I told you I'm a better husband, but you know what? Cindy is precious to me. She is precious to me. She is precious to all those that come into contact with. She is precious. The husband is to honor her. And that word honor again means to pay reverence, to bow down in his spirit to her. Understanding what? Giving honor to the wife. Why? Listen to what Peter says. He says, giving honor to wife as unto the weaker vessel.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. You know, I have so many commentaries on that. I'm going to stick with the one I like the most. The weaker vessel in that word sense means precious. The more precious vessel. The more precious a thing is, the weaker it is sometimes. You know, we got stainless steel dishes. We do. They can do what they want with it. They ain't stainless steel. But the precious stuff, keep it in the china cabinet. Because it's fragile. You got to treat it with respect and love and kindness. And this is what I believe Paul was saying here. No, there's no women in this church. I know there's no women in this church believe that they can whoop a man. Okay? I'm a whoop a man. Listen, I work with some of the toughest. And I didn't see any women get their heads knocked off. Messing around talking about they gonna whoop a man. Anybody whoop? That's not what we're not going there, okay? There ain't no Ronda Rouseys in here. Okay. When she said a weaker vessel, that's what it means. As good as Serena Williams is, the 150th ranked man tennis player would beat her all day. And she's number one in the world. Okay? Tough as, when I say Ronda Rousey, was I say her name right? Rousey, is it Rousey? She's a MMA, number one ranked MMA fighter. Knocking out women in the first round. She can't whoop Jake. She can challenge Floyd Mayweather and all that. She get knocked out. Jake will knock her out. You better now that I said it. But y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, I remember coming out of Walmart one time and, you know, we bought the two double bags of charcoal. Put them in the trunk. It was in the buggy. I said, put them in the trunk. She said, you crazy? You the man. It is what it is. It is what it is. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about not a weaker vessel in a sense, but just the preciousness of that woman. Let me tell you, young girl, something. You better find you a guy. You find you a man who thinks you are precious. Just to think the world of you. Just think you are precious. You are precious to me. And you don't cuss and lie and do all that to someone that you think is precious. You don't hit someone in the mouth that's precious to you. Drag them out of an elevator and then, oh, I'm going to marry you. Now pay attention. Stay away from dudes that don't think you precious. And present yourself in a precious way. Likewise, husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Here's why you give them honor. Here's why you give that woman honor. Because she is saved just like you. She's going to spend all eternity in heaven just like you. God is not a respecter of person. He saved a woman the same way the man is saved. And if you do the numbers, I believe when you look around this church today, maybe not this one. Many churches are filled with women.
Amen.
Some say women are 57% more likely to attend Sunday school and Bible study. 30 or 40% more likely to be the ones that volunteer for all the duties that go on in the church. Men. Treat them with honor. As a weaker vessel. You know, Paul was a chosen vessel of the Lord. Remember Paul? Paul and Ananias. Ananias had a message from God, said, this man, I want you to, Paul's coming to your house. I want you to bless him. I want you to take care of him and treat him nice. And Ananias said, this man crazy as a bed bug. He didn't kill a whole lot of folks. We'd heard crazy stuff about him. You know what Paul, you know what God said? This is what God said about Paul. He says, that Paul was a chosen vessel unto him to bear the name of the Gentiles and into kings and to the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. How about that? Paul was a God's chosen vessel. See, in God's eyes, Paul was precious. See, you don't have a man write 2/3 of the New Testament who's not precious to you. And if you're saved, if you're here today and you're saved, somebody's singing a song today, what's in the heart or out of the heart or however, if you're saved, if you're filled with God's Spirit, if you're filled with the knowledge of God, you are precious in God's eyes. Why do I say that? Because the Word of God says it. The Word of God says it in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The Spirit of God is to be treasured. It's a treasure. How do we hold it? In earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power of God may not be of us. It's in us. If you're saved, you have something precious working in you. You have something precious working in you. Are you precious today? Are you precious in God's eyes, not in man's eyes? Are you an heir of the grace of life? Have you been born again? Are you saved? This is what Peter is getting at here. He said, we're not no second class citizens. If you know the Lord. Peter says this, 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, talking about a like precious faith between both men and women, because he's talking to this whole group of people in Asia. He says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. With us. You know, we have the same Spirit in us that Peter had when he wrote this. If you're saved. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have the same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit power working in you as the Apostle Peter. That's what Peter says. He says, with us. With us. With us. I don't know. I'm getting there. This last one. This last point. And I think this is a powerful one. He uses that word hinder. That word hinder is a military word. It's a word that if the enemy is approaching you and you cross a bridge when you want to hinder that enemy, what do, military guys? Blow that bridge up. You blow that bridge up, or you blow up a main road that will slow them down, that will stop them from pursuing you. See, and what Peter is getting at with the husbands, he said in verse number 7, he says, not only to honor your wife and to dwell with your wife and respect her as a weaker vessel, but and being heirs together of the grace of life, he says, you do all this that your prayers be not hindered. Having a bad relationship, men, will hinder your prayers. Amen. Will hinder your prayers. You know, being unforgiving and not letting issues go or letting the sun go down on your wrath can cause you problems in your prayer life. Amen. You know, we sing the song, Jesus on the main line. He's not on the main line to the man who's at with his wife. He's not on the main line. And if I ever call you up to pray, or you and your wife ain't speaking, and you know you're one of my select ones that I ask to pray, just say no, Pastor. You know, just say not just come to office on the way in. You know me, you know, because I've been acting crazy. You know, now I'm a man. I don't take so much. Don't ask me to pray today until I get it right later. I'm going to get it right when I get home. Amen. Hypothetically, that would never happen. I love you too, Vaughn. Listen, look at John 9. Look at John 9:31. He says, remember the blind man? Blind man was, he was preaching to these Pharisees, and when Jesus healed him, and they couldn't believe it. He says this. They said this to him. Now we know, and this is truth. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, he hears him. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Look at Proverbs 15:29. Some of you think these scriptures ain't in the Bible because you got one of them funny Bibles. Well, you don't read it enough. Look at this. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord, all caps, is far from the wicked. You wonder why all hell breaking out your life? You wonder why all hell breaking out your life? You wonder right here, you messed up? Why? Because God is far from you. Amen. God is far from you. Say, the Lord is far from the wicked.
Amen.
But He hears the prayer of the righteous. That's good. That's good. Look at Malachi, and I'm close. I know we got communion. Malachi talking to treacherous husbands. Talking to treacherous husbands. Malachi 2 and verse 13 through 14, maybe even 15. I'm not going to cover this. I'm done. I promise. He's talking to treacherous husbands who just would not do right but call themselves men of God. The last part of that is key. Treacherous husbands that would not do right but call themselves men of God. He says this in Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. And this have ye done again. Their first sin was bringing mutilated offerings and tithes and broke down sheep and lamb. And this have ye done again. Covering the altar of the Lord with tears. Fake tears. Phony balonies coming into church. With weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offering anymore, or receive it with goodwill at your hand. It's coming to the Lord any kind of way. Standing before the Lord praying and asking God to touch those in nursing homes and touch those in hospitals. And you know what you're doing? Treating your wives. It starts at home. You know, you got preachers. And wife falling out and they praying for the church. That's some dangerous stuff. That's some dangerous stuff. If y'all come to church one Sunday and Cindy ain't back there, or she got on a pair of sunglasses like Doors, y'all better walk back there and say, take them, let me see what's under there. Or where's your wife at? I'm not making sense. Because we as the pastor is the caretaker of your souls. And if I'm not right with my wife, I have no right to pray or to lead this church.
Amen.
Oh, y'all. You only human. I mean, you a man like everybody. I'm not. God has called me to a supernatural work. And I'm preaching a supernatural gospel. And I'm saying that the Word of God has a power to cancel and to heal you and to deliver you and to help you break strongholds. But I got strongholds. And I can't even get along with the person closest to me. This is what was happening in Malachi. He said, yet ye, verse 14, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. Against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. You made the covenant, brother. Deal with it. Love her to sweetness. Love her to sweetness. I have to do it. I'm just being honest. Love that woman Love her till she's sweet. Love her till she's sweet. Now somebody says, oh, you know, I ain't ever planning on getting married. Well, you may not be. You may not be. Doors may, you may not be. But one of your great nieces may come over and say, oh, Doris, I want you to meet this little boy. I'm going to marry him. And you take her in the back room and read it. Give her the business. How's he talk to you? Does he got a problem with drugs? Does he got a problem with alcohol?
Yes, sir.
There's some reason why we ought not get married.
Amen.
Thought I was done. I don't get any of these seven. I'm done for real. Getting like Jake taught me this last week. Let me give you seven reasons. Yeah. Where Kaylin at? Seven reasons not to get married. Number one, marrying to get out of the house. Just to get out of the house. That's number one on the list. That's the number one answer, as the bald head guy would say with the mustache. No one better than him will ask me to marry me. Well, you know what? There ain't no reason to get married.
Yeah.
It's just time to get married. Really? Listen. Number four. Here's the reason I get married. Being hit, slapped, threatened, intimidated, verbally abused, put down, forced to do things that you don't want to do. That's the reason I get married. You or your partner are dependent on drugs or alcohol. How about that one? How about that one? Because they're pushing alcohol down our throats and they're pushing marijuana down our throats. But you know, they're still testing for it. You know, you can, I ain't nothing wrong smoking a little bud, a little dope. Guess what? Can't get no job. But down there where Debbie had, don't they drug test you? You know? Another reason why. See, if you got a guy, you meet a guy or a girl, and they need drugs to relax or make them feel good, guess what? That habit is going to increase. It's going to get stronger and stronger. So be careful. Listen, you or your partner have major items which you avoid talking about. How about that one? Okay. Like religion. Oh, he's Catholic. Really? I know Christians that are marrying Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that working for you?
Yeah.
Marriage just seems like the logical next step. You know, this is the person. Hey, we've been living together so long, I'm about to get married. Really? Maybe you've been living so long together, it's time to just get out of it. Seven reasons. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the attentiveness of the people. Thank you for the joy that's sometimes found in scriptures. But as men of God, we can do better. It's a choir. It's commanded. It's required and commanded that we be good and godly husbands. So when the young people of our church look at the marriages in our church, they won't have an excuse. Well, I don't want to be married because everybody I know married is mad at each other. Everybody I know marriage is crazy. Let them see good marriages in this church. Strong men and women of God, faithful in their marriages. Let them see that. Let them look at us and want to hang out with us and say, you know what, I want a husband like that deacon. I want a husband like the preacher. I want a husband like brother over there. I want to be married. Thank you for those who have been married and divorced for whatever reason. This is not a message of condemnation. But there's lessons to be learned in good marriages and bad marriages. that we could share, as we learned this morning, we could share with those coming up behind us. The Bible says that the older women ought to teach the younger women what? How to love their husbands. We can be difficult. We can be difficult. But with God, all things are possible. Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open.